Good morning. It's great to see you. I hope you've had a good week. I'm going to read from Matthew 24, if you want to turn there. I've not done this well at all. Not Matthew 24, Matthew 25. It's a good start. Just to say to you, Saturday mornings we've been gathering to pray at 8 o'clock in the morning. From now on, we're not going to do that on Saturday mornings. We're going to do that on Wednesday evenings at 8 o'clock at night. I hope that's a blessing to you. It'll be a blessing to me. And if you're able to join us, we'd love to see you there. We send out links for that during the week. And so if you check your emails, if you don't have emails, then let us know and we can get that to you another way. But we're praying together Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock from now on. And hopefully that's a convenient time for you. Certainly seems more convenient to me than Saturday morning. But that might say more about me. Matthew 25 and verse 14 says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants, entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We've been looking over the past few weeks at small things, little things. I want to try and talk to you today about being faithful in little. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. And he's talked about the fact that no one knows the day that the Son of Man will return. And then he tells some parables. And so you have the 10 virgins preceding this and then the parable of the talents. And the parable goes, there's a man with some money and he's got some servants. And he gives money to the servants in differing quantities according to their ability and then goes away. And 2 of them decide they're businessmen. And so they go and they start putting the money to work and doing some stuff with it. And 1 of them buries it in the ground. And then after a long time, the master comes back. And 2 of them have doubled their money. They've doubled it. That's a good return on an investment, isn't it? I mean, I am not an investment banker. I'm not a financial advisor. But I can tell you, if someone's offering to double your money, that's a good investment, right? And the master comes back and he doesn't commend their business acumen, doesn't thank them for their incredible work, doesn't celebrate their initiative. He commends their faithfulness. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. They've gone out and done something that they weren't even instructed to do. They weren't told, listen, I want this money to double by the time I get back. Told, oh, well, listen, I'm going to give you this and what you do with this will be a measure of what you get in the future. But with what they're given, they go out and do some stuff. And what the master commends them on is their faithfulness. I find that really weird. Maybe it's just me, but I find it strange. I find that rather odd. Why? I mean, it's a phrase probably we most often use at funerals. Well done, good and faithful servant. And Jesus is telling this narrative about the kingdom of heaven. He says, a master's given some people some stuff. They double it, and when he comes back, what he's commending is their faithfulness. And so there's this other phrase. You've been faithful in a little. I will set you over much. You've been faithful in a little. I will set you over much. Luke 16, verse 10, Jesus says it like this. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. And whoever's dishonest with very little is also dishonest with very much. And a lot of us think at times that our behavior is a result of our circumstances. Well, I have to do this because I don't actually. And if I had more money, it would be different. I would be more generous. I would be more adventurous with it. I would. But my circumstances mean. And actually, apparently, you're meant to be faithful with what you have in order to see that change. And I want to tell you, God's looking for faithful people. I'm assuming most of us would like to serve the purpose of God in our life. Most of us would like to be in a place where we go, here I am, Lord, use me. But quite often we're waiting for the big purpose in order to do the stuff he's asked us to do. I want to suggest to you that actually what he's looking for is people who are faithful now. Before he asks anything big of you, are you faithful with the little you've got? We've talked over the past number of weeks about miracles. Are you faithful now? Are you faithful with what you've got now? I want to see God do incredible things in the city of Sunderland. Amen. I want to see God do incredible things in and through this church. But can I suggest to you that we have to start at a place of being faithful with what we've already got? Being faithful with what we've already been given. So God chooses a man to build an ark to save humanity. And here's the record of Genesis 6. Genesis 6 verse 5 says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And quite often we stop there. We talk about God's unmerited favor in Noah's life. And there's truth in that. But verse 9 says, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had dealt... For all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. Before there's ever a mention of the ark, before God ever talks to Noah about his plans to destroy the earth, to start again, to wipe humanity out, before there's ever a mention of the flood, Noah's a righteous man, blameless in the eyes of the people of his day, walking faithfully with God. Before God ever invites Noah to big purpose, Noah's faithful. Before God ever invites Noah to serve his purpose in incredible ways, he's faithful. And sometimes we want to see God do incredible things, but we want to whinge about what we've already got. We want to say it's not sufficient. We're not doing enough with what we've got already. We're not faithful with what he's given us, and we want more. Sort of an insult. God chooses a man to lead a nation out of Egypt, to see plague after plague after plague where the Lord's miraculous power is demonstrated, to see a sea part, to meet with him at Sinai. But here's how Hebrews 11 records it. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Before there's a burning bush, Moses apparently chose disgrace for the sake of Christ. Before he sees a plague, before the seas part, before there's a pillar of cloud and fire, Moses has chosen something and he's faithful in it. Before there's anything significant of his life, he's rejected the treasures of Egypt. That's the record of Scripture, to be mistreated with his own people, because he recognized Christ was more important, according to Hebrews 11. And we're often looking at the big picture and the big things. And when that happens, listen, I'll be there. And I'll be there, you know, boots on, ready to work, do whatever the Lord's asked me to do. If it's not true now, it won't be true then. If it's not true now, it won't be true then. And some of us believe we're called the big things. Some of us believe God has said some stuff about what he's going to do here, what he's going to do through our lives, whatever, how he might use us. Can I tell you, you still need to be faithful in the wait? So in 1 Samuel 16, you'll know the narrative well. David is anointed to be king. He's anointed to be king. His father hasn't brought him into the room when the prophet turns up. Prophet rejects all the other brothers, brings David in. David's anointed to be king. And then David is invited by Saul to go and be his worship leader in his palace. And here's what 1 Samuel 7, 17, 13 to 20 says. Jesse's three oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry up to their camp. Take along 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They're with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. David's been anointed as king. And is in the palace as the worship leader. And the record of scripture is he went back and forward from Saul to tend to his father's sheep. There's big purpose on this kid's life. There's a big calling on this man. The greatest king Israel ever has, apparently. And he spends his time running backwards and forwards from the palace to his father's sheep. Sorry, I need to just go and see if the sheep are okay. The prophet's turned up, poured oil over his head. And the kid's been sent back out to the fields. I'll turn up and play the harp in a minute, but the sheep need someone seeing to them. And then his brothers have gone off into battle. Apparently they weren't doing much fighting, but they've gone off into battle. His dad's like, listen, I know you're going to be king, but do you mind just taking them some sandwiches? Will you take some cheese up for the commander as well? God's got big purpose for me. Dad, do you not know? I'm going to be king one day. Do you not know? I've got a special calling on my life. God has anointed me and set me apart to be king. I know, but will you take them the sandwiches anyway? I know, but will you come and look after the sheep? There's other shepherds. He leaves the sheep in the care of another shepherd to go and take sandwiches. And still he's going backwards and forwards to look after the sheep. And the story gets a little bit more dramatic as you go on. Because then this kid who's anointed to be king looks round, sees an army absolutely terrified and goes, oh, I'll fight the giant. I'll fight the giant. No. You're meant to be king, David. Let's set you aside. Let's hold you back for it. Oh no, don't you be running backwards and forwards from the palace. You're going to be king. Apparently that's not how it worked. Apparently that's not how it worked. Some of the greatest figures the most well-known Bible characters. And they're actually expected to be faithful in really small things. Will you look after the sheep, though? And we often think that we'll be faithful when we know what God wants us to do. When he's revealed his special purpose for our lives. When he's spoken specifically to us about something. Here's what Ephesians 2:10 says. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Good works. Can I tell you how important the S is on that word? Good works. The purpose of your life in God is not singular. There is not a good work for you and then you've done your purpose and you can sit back and put your feet up. You're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works. What's the work he has for you now, where you are? Before the big stuff, before the stuff that everybody wants to do, you know, like, if I was dishing out prophecies this morning, I was like, you're going to stand in the sea and see the sea part. Yeah, I want to do that. Oh, God's going to show up in a bush and speak to you. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? This bush is on fire. Maybe it's the Lord. We'll have a chat. You're going to be the king of Israel. You're going to save humanity. Oh, yeah, I want to do all of those things. I want to serve big purpose in the kingdom of God. I want to do stuff for him. Will we be faithful with what you've been given? Will you be faithful with what you've been given? It's interesting to me. They're given talents according to their ability. And yet the two who come back having put their talents to work, both achieve the same result. They've both doubled what they were given. Is it more impressive to double two than double five? Maybe, but they've both achieved the same result. The return on the investment's exactly the same. The return on the investment's exactly the same. Can I suggest to you, maybe the results are not your responsibility. Faithfulness is. Maybe you don't need to be worrying about the fruitfulness of stuff. Maybe you just need to get on and do the gardening. Be faithful. The promise of Scripture is that if you don't grow weary in doing good, you will reap a reward. If you keep going, you're going to see results. And sometimes we're really concerned by the results. And maybe all we need to do is be faithful. Maybe we just need to keep going and trust that he's going to do what he does. And the master returns after a long time. After a long time. Because the reality is faithfulness is not proved in a moment. Faithfulness is not proved in a moment. I don't know how many of you have tried dieting. Tell you, the first day, it's great, isn't it? You're going to change. Or 6 weeks' time, I'll be a shadow of myself. I'm going to be a different person. Second day, slightly more hard work. By the end of the week, you've ordered 3 pizzas. And you're telling yourself it's a cheat day, but that cheat day goes on for the rest of the month. And rather than losing weight, you've gained a stone. Sometimes we get really excited. Me and Jesus. Now's our time. We're going to change the world together. And it's a bit like our diets. They last for a little while. Last for a little while. Faithfulness is a commitment to be in this for the long haul. That when he returns after a long time, I'm still going. I'm still going. I'll shut up quickly because time's going, but let me just make this other observation to you. With no instruction, two of them know exactly what's expected of them. With no instruction. Because being faithful to the master relies on knowing him. Being faithful to the master relies on knowing him. If you want to be faithful to what he's called you to do, you need to know him. The third guy turns up and he seems to have a really good explanation as to why he hasn't seen any change in his situation. Oh, you're a hard man, you know, you gather what you haven't scattered. See, I was afraid. And he had some level of understanding about who the master was. And he uses that understanding to try and explain why he hasn't met the expectation. The master's like, doesn't even make sense. If you think I'm a hard man, why didn't you even put it in the bank? If you think that I'm someone who gathers where I haven't scattered, at least give me the interest on it. And most of us, we probably wouldn't necessarily look at what we've got and go, well, that's an awful lot to be entrusted with. It's an awful lot to be expected. It's an awful lot, isn't it? That's not most of our story, right? But if you're faithful in a little, he'll set you over much. And I want to see God do big things. I want to see God do great things here, across this city, across this nation, wherever it is. I just want to see him do it. I'd like him to do it through me. But my job right now is to be faithful with what he's given me. Your job right now is to be faithful with what he's given you. And sometimes we need to change our perspective on that. Because the truth is, the master comes back and says he's trusted them with a little. But a talent seems like an awful lot of money to me. I mean, some people talk about it being 20 years worth of wages. It's not little at all. It's not little at all, is it? Some bloke got 5 talents. Got more money than he could earn in a lifetime. This is not little at all. Can I suggest to you that what you've been entrusted with is not little at all? The things that you have gained in Christ are not little at all. It's not actually that small at all. Your desire for always having more is probably a bit of an insult to what you've already been given. Are you using what you've got? One of my favorite Bible verses is Ephesians 3:20. Unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. According to the power that is at work within us. Immeasurably more power. He's able to do immeasurably more than you can even imagine. According to the power that is already at work within you. It's already at work within you. You've already got incredible power at work within you. That's where the immeasurably more from. It's not from the heavens, apparently. It's not when God parts the sky and prods about in his finger. Apparently he's able to do immeasurably more than you can even imagine through the power that's already at work within you. And Jesus tells this parable about some money. Some people are commended not for their brilliance, not for their excellence, but just that they were faithful. Doesn't seem like a big ask, does it? Doesn't seem like a huge request. They were faithful. What have you been entrusted with? Are you faithful with it? Because if you are, you'll see the results. And while we're waiting for God to do incredible things in our midst, let's be people who are faithful. Let's be people who are committed to him, what he's called us to. Because apparently if you're faithful in a little, you'll be faithful with a lot. And I don't want to get a lot and find out I didn't know I wasn't that faithful. There's a lot of people whose lives have been torn apart because they got a lot. Or they followed people who had a lot, but they weren't faithful with what they'd been given. I pray we'd be a faithful people with everything we've been entrusted with from the Master. In Jesus' name, amen.